the show.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's Boundless Show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson. Starting a new thing up this week with our show actually having sponsorships. Very exciting. And this week's show is sponsored by none other than marrywell.org, an online dating community that's goal is to cut through the clutter and move people toward marriage. All right, well, on this week's show, we're going to be answering an inbox question from a girl who is basically trying to get over a guy that really ended up not being an option. During our culture segment, I'm going to talk with Steve Waters about what it looks like to deal with desire and disappointment. Are you expecting God to write your Hollywood love story? But first off, we're going to kick it off here with Mott and Steve for our special Valentine's Day show.
It's great to be here, Lisa.
That was kind of lamely melodic. I need to work on that. That was almost a Carrie Underwood Super Bowl performance. Whoa, did she go flat? I'm just saying, people, okay?
And I'm only saying that. They have two... anthems, national anthems.
Well, they had
because we have so much talent in our nation, Steve.
I mean, you just can't have one.
Well, even two of them together didn't make up a good one. Queen Latifah and Carrie Underwood.
Well, and let's be honest, they were just trying to drive down, you know, because they had the Who as the halftime show. It's like, there let's get go. Someone under 60 to be involved.
But
in
you
this.
Know, even
two people, if
their
possible.
Age together, they didn't. They probably still didn't come up to the age of the Who, right?
I don't think so. No, that was some good times. Well, we have yet made it through yet another year here at the Boundless Show, and we're back to Valentine's Day. This is exciting.
Can
I can see
that?
The excitement on your faces right now, the two of you.
What
I'm camouflaging.
What needs to be said that hasn't already been said about Valentine's Day?
Oh, I will tell you what needs to be said because we're going to talk about it today, Mott. I'm not even going to ask you about what you're doing because last year when I asked you guys, you were just blazed away and you were all nervous. And I know guys just feel all this pressure from it, even you married dudes. I asked a couple of my coworkers in the office what they were planning. Blank stares. Nothing planned yet. So,
well, for the third year in a row, I'm traveling on Valentine's Day. But this year, unlike the last 2 years, I'll actually be traveling with Candace. So it makes it a lot more manageable. And it still creates some challenges to do something while you're on the run like that.
I wish I were traveling.
At least we're together.
Can you?
This year, I researched Valentine's Day so I could have an excuse not to celebrate Valentine's Day.
What'd you find out, Maya?
I found out that it's based on a pagan Ides of February ritual where they gave teenage girls to Roman citizens.
So I'm rebuking you right now. I'm rebuking your attitude. I'm rebuking your research.
The Catholic Church wanted to take Valentine's Day back and then celebrate Valentine, who was put in prison because he didn't want to go to war, and because he wanted to marry.
Because he's a lover, not a fighter.
Okay, so here's my shout out to Beth Brown. Beth, just give me a call. Obviously, Mott will not be doing anything with you for Valentine's
That's not
Day.
True.
You and I are going to hang out together. We will just do
some
stuff.
Beth Valentine's has given me a great gift in telling me exactly what she wants me to do for her for Valentine's Day.
Which is
leave her alone. Take care of all the kids and let her go away for like 16 hours and not ask her where she's going.
That is special. That's precious.
That says everything.
See, this is why I want to get married, because I want to look forward to these types of just over-the-top expressions of love that are going to be amazing. So
that's what we do.
Okay, so no, but here's what I want to talk about, you guys, because we've talked about, like, in the past couple of years. Here's a couple of things I need to do. This is some housekeeping, but we love it. First of all, we have to thank Rachel Dethridge, because she sent us a card. Basically, it's a birthday card. For those of you who don't know, Boundless celebrated our second birthday.
That's
hardcore, people. We have made it 2 years now. So that's cool. Rachel sent us not only a card, but a Starbucks gift card.
She's
that
awesome.
We are currently all benefiting from.
Yes.
We got our coffees. Mott, thank you for picking these up. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that.
My pleasure.
And she sent us a birthday cake with little sprinkles and stuff like that. With a number two candle. That is awesome. And I just need to say that I appreciate people who actually know that it was our birthday.
Okay? I think she got it to us right as we were turning two.
Almost the day after.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
That is, I hope, Rachel, that your mom or your family members, that they're also on your birthday calendar, because that might be depressing if they don't get this kind of treatment. But we love you and we appreciate you. And I'm only saying that if any of the rest of you want to send us gifts, please do. Okay, but here's what we're talking about today, because I think that the people I've talked to, and by people, I mean not only my friends here in the Springs, but Boundless listeners who have written to me, are in a seasonal slump related to relationships. We're dealing with some depression, people. And I think we need to infuse our listeners with some hope, because I have heard from some women in the past week who have just said, I've gotten some messages, you know, I'm just feeling more single than ever. I've never, you know, felt my singleness in this way, you know, in past years and stuff, or I just got out of a relationship and I'm totally bummed heading into Valentine's Day, or I just feel like I'm going into another year of nothingness, nothing's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. So I want to talk a little bit about some things that we can do, because we're always talking about, you know, well, just hang in there and just whatever, you know, just platitudes. I want to talk a little bit about what singles can do this year to move toward marriage.
That's good.
And I want to talk about what we can do as singles, and I want to talk about what you, and by you, I mean Steve, you, and Mott, you, can do. No, I'm just kidding. I mean you by just like married people, how married people can really step up to the plate and encourage singles and help us in our journey towards marriage, which Boundless, we say that is a responsibility of married people. Okay.
That's good.
So I just want to talk, I want to throw out a couple things here that I've thought about just in the past week or so, and things that I've encouraged people to do. And I'm just going to run through this list and you guys can comment. One thing that I think I need to do and my single friends need to do is pray. We've talked about this, and Candace, I think, has talked about this a lot. Praying about the people of godly character that are in our acquaintance rather than writing people off. Write people off. Yeah. We just meet them and are like, oh, no. Okay, so people that we know who really have a godly character and who are marryable and who are XYZ, but we don't feel anything for them. Mm-hmm. Okay. We need to pray about them. We need to pick two or three people and pray about them specifically, because for some reason they're in our life. And I'm not saying we need to marry them. I'm just saying we need to pray about marrying them.
Sure.
Okay. That's one thing I think we need to do. The other thing I think we need to do is get involved in something at church that is not just our singles group or that is not just our current sphere of friends, okay? Because I've got some great friends, but you know what? I've known them for like 10 years, and sometimes they just get on my nerves, and sometimes I'm just like, I need to maybe meet some new people. So, you know, I'm talking about getting involved in other ministries in the church. I'm talking about getting involved in maybe some cross-church ministries or just something else that's going on. Just kind of mix it up a little bit. That is an idea right there.
Another that is an idea.
Yes, exactly. Another thing I want singles to go out and do, and you know, let's do it soon. Let's do it early on in the year here, is go out and enlist 5 married people to pray for you in your journey towards marriage and to be on the lookout for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to give a shout out to Cheryl, whom I go to church with and I don't see too often. She's an older woman in my church who saw me in the narthex this weekend and basically shouted across the narthex, "Lisa, we need to get together because I need an update on the men in your life." And immediately everyone's like, "Vroom," like looking at me like the whole narthex. And I'm just like, thanks, Cheryl. Okay, let's do it. She's awesome. She just like throws it out there. So that was awesome. But I know that she's just like got my back and she's looking for me. So I love that. There are a few other ideas I'll throw out, like, you know, do a game night and have, you know, invite your single friends, but then have them each invite another single friend. Just open up the pool, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I think there are just other things we can do. There's still the online dating thing. That is still a possibility. People do not get mired in it. And quite frankly, if you've been doing it for 10 years, maybe this is your year to take a break from it. I don't know. But I mean, that's still a possibility. We always say it's a good way to meet people and stuff like that. Just be open to possibilities. I just want people to have hope and to be encouraged that there are still things that they can do actively to, you know, move toward marriage.
Well, I got one.
Yeah.
You mentioned what we can do as married people to help singles. I think since our audience is mainly made up of singles, I want to say to them to worm their way into the lives of married people.
Yeah.
And there are several ways you could do this. I mean, you really need to be bold. We had a young lady come up to us after we spoke at church and said, "Hey, I've been seeing you. I've really wanted to come up and introduce myself." So she, you know, worm your way into our lives is not the way to put it. But it was wonderful because she is coming over and spending some time with Beth and even helping out with the kids. That's one way to do it. And that produces in us, I don't know, a bond. We want to do things for her. We want to invite her over. We want to do other things for her. And so, you know, you could go up to a married couple that you've seen in church and that you've observed and invite them out to coffee. I mean, women just love to go out to coffee. I know my wife does. She loves to be invited out to coffee. If it's a guy, you know, invite him out to see a movie or just to have coffee and talk theology. That's what guys like. Mm-hmm. Or you, if they have kids, if the, you know, if the couple has kids, you know, ask if you could keep the kids. It's just a great way to to get to know married
couples.
Well,
and don't assume that the married people in your life or in your sphere of acquaintance, you know your situation or know, like you said, you have to have.
Or don't assume they're too busy.
Right. Don't assume they're too busy.
Because we're not.
Because they're not too busy for coffee, FYI. Because, no, I think it's, I can't tell you how many married people I know who say, oh, well, I just figured you didn't want to get married. Or I just figured that you just have your own thing together or you're doing, you know what you're doing or whatever. Hmm. And I'm like, my goodness, could you please ask some questions? So, I mean, I think singles need to take the initiative to go say, you know, I am marriage minded. I am interested in being married. Yeah. I am willing to be set up. I am, you know, I think we need to put ourselves out there and be willing to risk that.
You know, I think that brings up the importance of being in community. Being in community with other singles who value marriage, who honor it, who aren't going to spend their whole time joking about it or being bitter and sour grapes, and also having all the crazy dysfunction you often have in Christian singles groups that say we're not going to be a meat market and try to put artificial limits on people connecting with each other. And then secondarily, like you mentioned, being in intergenerational relationships, whether it's being with other married couples or being with even much older married people, or those other settings where everybody there values and honors marriage, and you get the benefit, the fellowship of living in community. I know, I mean, like the other night when we had you and some friends over for game night, I mean, it was just fun to play games, even if, you know, no sparks flew and the, you know, singles who got together, just being in that fellowship and being reminded of how important it is to mix it up and be in different settings. And mm-hmm. I think just that in itself can create a little more hope, a little more
exactly. Well, and it was fun because it wasn't gets back to my point of it wasn't my same old acquaintance of people that I know. And, you know, I think singles need to do that. I think we need to recognize that, especially women, you know, and I mean, I don't want to diss the guys here. Guys, this isn't a diss, but women don't hang around in groups with all these guys if you know that they're not moving toward marriage or if they're not in a position to marry. Do not waste your time. Do not waste your capital. And I'm not saying don't treat them as brothers in Christ and don't do stuff with them at church or whatever, but that, you know, move on. Find some other people, you know? I don't know. It just seems to be the case. But any other suggestions for married folks? I have had a few, I'm going to be honest, I've had a few of our married listeners try to introduce me to people on Facebook, like say, hey, I have someone for you to meet. And so they do the friend suggestion and that kind of thing. So I've appreciated that. I appreciate all of our married people out
there. Well, I think too, married couples can host small groups with a mixed group of singles and marrieds that there's a lot of potential in bringing people together around, you know, growing in their faith. And that's an awesome community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's cool. Well, I just want to, I mean, I don't know. Do you guys have any just general encouragement? I mean, I think just heading into 2010, I joked on a few shows back that I was declaring this year, find the man in 2010, which isn't really biblical. The guys need to find us, but you know, whatever. I might just create a t-shirt. actually, I am creating a t-shirt. I'm just going to be honest. I'm putting it out there. Some friends and I are starting the FTM 2010. So,
awesome.
Yeah, we're going to wear our shirts and we're going to be honest about it and going to pray boldly as Candace tells us to do.
Well, I just remember Valentine's Day. I mean, Mott probably has a good point about why it ended up when it did. But I would say on a practical level, why it probably ended up when it did for people who live in the Northern Hemisphere. It's kind of in the middle of winter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I think it was probably stuck there to help people have a little bit more hope to last till spring.
Right.
And hope springs eternal. And that maybe what a lot of us need, who people who have been in the winter of relationships and people who are tired of snow and cold days and short dark days, to remember spring's on the way and that there are things you can do in community and relationship with other people to make spring and the big thaw ahead of us happen sooner.
Mm-hmm. And it's on the front end of the year, so you can kind of have hope for the remainder of the year. It's not like in November where you're like, wow, nothing happened this year. What can happen in December? Nothing, because we're just heading into Christmas. So that's encouraging. But I just want to encourage all of you out there. And I do have, I mean, I'm not saying that you have license to diss Valentine's Day if you're not dating anyone, because you know that I love it. I love Valentine's Day. My package from my sister is already sitting on my counter. She sent it to me and I need to send hers. So I love it. I'm going to be wearing pink and red. I'm going to be just spreading the cheer. And I just encourage all of you to do the same and to have hope to go into this year and to come out of this Valentine's Day. Do not wear the black. Do not be all crazy. Do not be whatever. God knows what's up. He's got your back. He's got your story. And so you do your part in it and be excited. So
human intolerance for mystery, subtlety, what we can't see. I want understanding, a humble view, patience to need no rescue from the absence of answers, making this mortal woman realize I can't save you, provide answers to all your questions, all your questions, begging you to keep on searching, never resting, running out of air, disbelieving 'cause you're not seeing, spending precious time in fear, precious time in fear.
Well, we're continuing on in our Valentine's Day show, and I'm in the studio with Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Lisa.
And that would be Steve Waters.
That is.
Steve, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about it's a topic here that I guess is near and dear to your heart, because you're actually going to be presenting it at a conference in Louisville this weekend. You're ready to fly out with Candace. To do that, you're going to be at the Give Me an Answer conference, which is run by our friends, Al Mohler and Russell Moore and all of those folks, correct?
Yeah, good friends of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary.
We love them. We love those Southern Baptists.
We're
good.
Do.
We do. Okay, well, your breakout session that you and Candace are doing is called Desire and Disappointment. Are You Expecting God to Write Your Hollywood Love Story? And that's kind of a title.
Did
you just do that so that people will come to your session? I mean, let's be honest here. Everyone's just going to be like, oh, I'm totally doing that. I need some help. So,
you know, it's one of those where you have something in mind you want to say, and then you find out that they've already written cute and clever breakout session titles that you have to conform to.
Yeah.
And so we kind of got pushed into that. And actually, we're kind of glad we landed on that, even though it sounds a little convoluted.
Yeah.
It gives us an opportunity to talk about one, desire, and the key desire we're talking about is the desire that most people express that one day they hope to get married, but then also disappointment, which we hear about a lot, about people who aren't experiencing that desire, and then specifically, what does that have to do with their belief in God, and how does that play into those desires and disappointments?
Okay. Well, that's cool. Are you going to be handing out free copies if you've got mail? Because let's just be honest, you know, sometimes people just need to try to live out vicariously through these Hollywood stories. I'm just saying, but no.
But we are going to hand out free copies of the Guy's Guides and the Girl's Guides to Marrying Well.
Oh, see, that's good.
Hoping, you know, that'll help a little bit.
That is good. So, well, let's talk a little bit about why you feel the subject needs to be addressed, because I know as you are, you know, you're our resident researcher. You have some research to kind of back this up. So let's just talk a little bit about, because a lot of what Boundless is known for is, okay, just move toward marriage. And we don't often talk about the fact that, one, there's a desire for mm-hmm. marriage that then can be met with disappointment when we don't see it happening or happening within right. the time frame that we hoped for. So you know that you're saying that there are factors that play into that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a flurry of things that have been coming out recently as we're starting to see more census updates, as we're starting to hear more about men and women and their college education and career attainment, that we're starting to hear a lot more about disappointments in the path to marriage, especially in the growing gap between the number of highly educated and career-focused women and men who are lagging much further behind them. And most women will say they'd like to marry a man who has a similar level of education and career development, but there is increasingly a lot of disappointment. The disappointment that we want to touch on, however, has a lot more to do with your worldview, how you go about answering the questions, what is marriage all about? What does the path to marriage look like? How do I know when someone's potential for a good spouse? Because what we're finding is that there are a lot of different ways you can answer those questions based on the input we get from friends, family, movies, college, church, all the different inputs that we have in our lives. And what we're seeing is that increasingly how people get those answers affects how disappointed they end up being, because there's a lot of different input and a lot of it's not good. And the point of this conference, Give Me an Answer, is that the Bible does have good answers, but that we're increasingly leaving the Bible to be marginal and looking to other things for those answers.
Okay. So I know in describing this, you've actually said that in some cases or in some ways, it's easier for unbelievers to move to marriage and to actually make this decision and cross the fence, I guess, than it is for maybe a believer who's trying to throw a little bit of Jesus into the equation, but maybe still hold on to what the world's offering them as well. What does that look like?
Yeah, I think that might come across a little radical to people, but the idea is there's increasingly a wake-up call that's happening among non-believers. There's a great book called Marry Him by Lori Gottlieb. Not that we're endorsing it from Focus or anything. It's got its issues. But among books out there for non-believers, it does an excellent job of debunking all the myths, of helping people to be much more rational and objective about navigating the world of the path to marriage that people experience today. What we found when we talked about that book, and especially the article that preceded it on Boundless, was that plenty of people were saying, well, the primary problem is that she just doesn't know God, that she doesn't have the hope we have as believers. Well, that's absolutely true. But the question is, where are you adding God into that story? And what we're noticing is that a lot of people would like to hold on to all the myths and hopes and dreams and fantasies of our secular dating world, but throw in just enough God to make it all happen. So there's a term some people use, the divine butler, that if you just have enough God that you don't really let him be Lord of your life, but you'll let him be the guy, the magic dude up there who just makes your dreams happen, then you're actually in worse shape than your secular counterparts who aren't looking to that kind of magical piece in their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's almost like, you know, you think of unbelievers who say that they want to get married. Maybe they show up in a bar. They meet someone else who also would like to get married. They, you know, sit over a beer or whatever, share their junk. And then they're like, yeah, we're both messed up people. We could probably make it work. You know, it does yeah. seem kind of simplified to compared to someone who has this notion in their head that there's going to be this mystical experience. And maybe they do have to be practical about some things, but surely God will like put a stamp of approval on X, Y, Z, whatever that's going to look
yeah.
like for them.
Well, and especially for guys, I think you got a lot of guys out there who would take a normal process of looking around and seeing who might make a good wife. But now from a biblical standpoint, you've got Christians who know enough about God's will that they say, you know, I'm only going to move forward if I get this burning bush that indicates this is absolutely God's will. And they add a level of supernatural expectation that maybe God didn't want them to bring to it, that he wanted them to take a step of faith. So I think both for men and women, there are ways that having just enough God can be dangerous. And I should probably clarify, when I say just enough God, it's based on an increasing amount of observation of teenagers and young adults and how their faith is shaped by the culture around them and how it ends up being really watered down. There's a term that Christian Smith, who's at the University of Notre Dame, uses. He says, increasingly, the religion that most teens and young adults share could be called moralistic therapeutic deism, which means moralistic, if I do enough right things, good things in life, God will reward me for it. Therapeutic, meaning if when I have problems, I can remember that, oh, there's a God up there, maybe he'll help solve my problems. And then deism, the idea that maybe God kicked the world off, but then he's just kind of more or less letting it run until you do call him with one of those problems. And from that viewpoint, those people aren't seeing God as sovereign and Lord over every aspect of their life. They're not coming to him with all their decisions about sexuality, all of their media discernment issues, or any of those things that we talk about all the time on Boundless. And with just that slice of God, you are more likely to think God is the guy who writes my Hollywood love story versus this idea of being completely sold out and let God direct every aspect of your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the people, I think that plays into as well, the Christians that you would, I would say, are probably more spiritually immature, who are saying, you know, I'm gonna hang back, I'm gonna wait, I'm gonna see what my Hollywood love story is as God brings it to me, and then once I get into that story, then my spiritual growth will be exponential. Then I'm all of a sudden gonna become someone who's amazing, or I'm gonna become who I see my parents to have been, or who whatever my pastor is talking about, which eludes me currently. But surely once I get into this relationship and have my ducks in a row, then I'll start. You know, it's kind of that getting my life together.
Well, and I think that plays into the fact that if you do have that limited view of God and you are someone who buys into our cultural mindset of just how much relationships are going to affect your identity, and that being in a relationship is the end all be all, and that another person is going to complete you, and all those cultural concepts, you are more likely to see God in a marginal way, instead of realizing that you're first and foremost, you find your identity in God, and that you, as a dearly loved child of God, bring the health and completion that you have in Christ into these other relationships around you. And so the perspective obviously is off in terms of what people expect, which makes it that much likely they're going to be disappointed. Mm-hmm. And the thing Candace and I keep coming back to as we interact with Boundless readers, as Candace gets a lot of email all the time, is that people who went in to those kind of relationships with that marginal view of God not only end up being disappointed in those relationships that they expected too much of, but they get disappointed at God. Mm-hmm. And that they're now looking at him as the one person who didn't do their part, who didn't show up with the magic, and now their whole faith life is shot because God blew it on the relationship front in their mind.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like a cart before the horse kind of thing, because the way I see it, and the thing that I've been learning lately, is just how much an experience with God and really knowing God and really leaning into God ends up becoming your adventure. And that ends up becoming, it's not God put me in an adventure that's apart from you. It's getting to know God and really understanding his desire for the nations and for what he's going to do ultimately, you know, with his creation and what he's going to do with his people. That you can be an accountant in the midst of that. You can be a PR person in the midst of that. You can be whatever in the midst of that. And I think that's a good thing, you know, that to draw just in connection with that and relate that to relationships. So that's cool.
Well, and just to wrap it up, I think the hope we want to communicate is that we do have something as believers that people like Lori Gottlieb writing this book and others do not have. We do have the power of and goodness of the gospel and the redemption that comes with that and the much larger, greater story. And God does want to give us the desires of our hearts, and he does satisfy our desires with good things. And we know that when we hope in him, we will not be disappointed, even though he might still have to do a whole lot of work in us to realign our expectations and hopes and change our perspectives. But it's much better than being left with the hope of the world. And as we've been trying to get across with this workshop, it's even much better than just trying to have a foot in both worlds.
Yeah. Well, are you guys going to make any of this content available anywhere, or are we going to be able to hear the conference online, or what's the...
It's going to be recorded, and okay. So we're going to see how we can get that recording out.
Okay. If you can't, we're just going to basically do it on the show at some point. So we'll just, you know, forget any proprietary information. Okay. Well, that workshop is called Desire and Disappointment. Are you expecting God to write your Hollywood love story? So have a safe trip to Louisville, Steve, and let us know how it goes when you come back.
We'll do.
This is what we have, people. We have people from the Boundless team out and about just leading workshops, just writing books. I mean, this is big time. Okay. So this is for real. So, well, that's exciting. And we'll hopefully hear some more from you in the future on that, Steve.
Thanks, Lisa.
When nobody believes me, you believe I might be on to something. When I get uneasy, you comfort me with words that are relieving.
Well, we are opening up this week's inbox, and I have Candace on the phone. Candace, hello.
Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Candace.
Is it too soon to say Happy Valentine's Day?
It is not. It's never too soon, quite frankly, because it comes every year, and I think we just need to celebrate it all the time.
I know, and I just love that you love this holiday.
I do. I do. So it's good times. We talked, obviously, about it during the roundtable as well. So I'm just going to continue being an advocate. I got to do it.
That's right. Lisa, it's a role that you must play.
And I will. So, well, we're going to help a girl out here who is in quite a dilemma. And poor thing. I mean, this is one of those things that's just even heartbreaking to deal with on a Valentine's Day show, because it's just, oh, we want all the good stories. And this one's just kind of a difficult one. So poor thing. But let's see if we can help her out, Candace.
Yeah, let's turn a yucky into a good.
Yes, let's try to do this.
Okay. So.
Okay, she says, 5 months ago, I broke up with my boyfriend of a year and a half. I do not regret breaking up with him. We were way too emotionally intimate, not to mention physically, and on top of that, he wasn't a Christian. I knew that I needed to break up with him if I were to stop sinning and follow Jesus. Here's the problem, though. I still have feelings for him. Whenever I see him, my heart still aches. I'm surrounded by young, attractive, godly men, and still, I can't see myself with any of them. To be honest, if anyone even tried to pursue me, I'd probably turn them down, because I still can't see myself dating or marrying anyone but him. I don't know how to move on from this heartache. One of my closest friends broke up with her boyfriend at the same time under the exact same circumstances. She's moved on and is now being pursued by a good Christian man. I keep looking at her and wondering why she's moved on and I can't. I feel like having feelings for this guy still must be a sin, but I don't know what to do. I've prayed and prayed and nothing helps. I'm afraid that I'll be alone forever if I can't move on from him, because dating him is not an option. What can I do?
This is such a heart-wrenching question, because the reality is the physical intimacy that this woman had with this guy has created a bond that she's finding it really hard to break. And that's exactly how God designed sex to function. it is a glue. It's a super glue that bonds a couple that actually, in the words of Scripture, makes them one flesh. And that's not just a literal description. It's a metaphorical and spiritual reality of what happens when you bond with someone physically. So even if she wasn't having intercourse with this man, if they were sexually intimate in any way, shape, or form, she has to know that that glue is there. And so the first thing she needs to do is recognize that for what it is and understand why that is not just wrong, but sin, and repent of that and ask God to forgive her and to help her move on from this man, because she does know intellectually that he's not a good match, that he's not a legitimate match because he doesn't share her faith. But now she's got to somehow figure out how to know that emotionally and spiritually. And I think a big part of that is repenting of the activity for what it is, not just inappropriate or, you know, not a great fit, but that it literally was sin, and it was an offense to God, an affront to God. And so just to start there, and I would encourage her to do that in the safety and in the context of relationship, whether it's with her pastor and his wife or her parents or a mentor, to have the support and, you know, the encouragement of other believers walking with her through this. A second thing that I think she should do is maybe ask her friend, you know, how did you get over the guy you were dating? Because your relationship really seemed to mirror my own, and you've moved on, and yet I can't. So just the simple, practical aspect of asking a friend for help. And then thirdly, start to pay attention to the men that are in your life who are believers, and ask God to give you his perspective on them and to have a biblical vision for what marriage is. I think the more you study and read about and pray about having a marriage that honors God, the less desirable the man who didn't know the Lord will become in your eyes, and the more desirable a man who actually is a good candidate to be a godly husband and father will become.
Yeah. I think that's good, Candace. And I think that was good to kick off with the whole, you know, the concept of, yeah, where did they go physically? Because that obviously, like you said, is that super glue. I just want to throw out there, too, I've actually been on some level in this situation and have friends who have or are walking through stuff like this that's similar. Here are a couple of thoughts that I have. First, I don't want women out there to underestimate the emotional connection as well, because some women are going to say, well, you know, I haven't been physically intimate. I know how to draw that boundary. Mm-hmm. But I have seen over and over again, and I think I myself have gone there emotionally, where you are putting out dreams, you are putting out a desire for connection, you have connected on that level. And that is also extremely powerful. And we can't underestimate how powerful that is. The fact that this guy is a non-Christian has just muddied that water. The fact that she went there emotionally with him, probably gave up things emotionally that weren't his to have. I mean, not even on possibly a spiritual level, you know, that obviously is just an unequally yoked issue.
Well, and it wasn't just for a week. I mean, this was a year and a half relationship.
Exactly.
Which makes me think she needs a little bit more involved community in her life. Some fellow believers walking alongside who would, as you would say, Lisa, get in her bitnet, because...
Yeah.
She's doing this for a long, extended period of time without any accountability.
Exactly. And I fully understand, and I want to acknowledge her grief in this, because I know what that feels like. And I've often said to the Lord myself, I've been like, God, this isn't even a good stewardship issue. I'm just like going through these relationships and like grieving them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when it like takes months or whatever to get over. You just feel like you're kind of limping along. But I would tell her, I mean, I know she mentioned whenever I see him, I think she needs to be very intentional in breaking that connection.
Yeah.
The distance is necessary, and she needs to get out of caring what he's doing from day to day. She needs to get out of knowing what he's doing from day to day, if in fact that is the case. And she needs to, I think, really take captive. It's almost a spiritual issue here of taking captive those thoughts when she's tempted to have fantasies about being married to him, or dreaming that that may happen, or hoping and wishing and praying that, oh, well, you know, maybe he'll become a believer and then we'll be together and stuff.
Yeah.
That is not her reality, and she needs to abandon that. And so,
well, and if marriage is something she truly desires, she needs to understand that the more time she spends grieving this guy is time that she's not looking for and connecting with guys who really could be good husbands. And I know she touched on that, but I can't stress this enough. Being in the midst of reading Lori Gottlieb's new book, Marry Him, I am just overwhelmed by the statistical evidence that suggests that if you don't get intentional about this in your 20s, you really may be walking away from marriage.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's very, very difficult. And I think, I would just encourage her. I know so many women, and my experience in the past has been, we want to gather around one another and we want to say, oh, this is so terrible. And, it's going to take a while to heal and you need to just, put on your chick flicks and do whatever. And there's an element of that and you have to grieve what you've lost and stuff. But there's also a point where you have to realize that these thoughts can be sinful, and you have to say, I am no longer going to go there. It's done. This is not my story. This is not my reality. And it's just done. And when you start thinking about it, you just put them away. You put away those thoughts. And so I think too often we nurse and coddle our feelings that are not right. This guy's not a believer. This guy is not an option. That is her answer. She doesn't have to pray about that.
Right.
So,
and you don't have to feel something to believe it and to act on it.
Right.
Emotions play a part, but we give them way too much power over us. And I think what she needs to do is, in the context of biblical community, mentoring, good friendship, supportive friendship, decide what the right thing to do is and then start acting on that. And I think the emotions will follow, but she's probably going to have to go there as an act of the will to begin with.
Exactly. She needs to go there and she needs to recognize that if this guy is not her story, and currently he is not, he does not believe in Jesus Christ, then someone else is her story, and she needs to actively look ahead to that and actively open herself up and pray about that possibility.
That's right.
So, all right. Well, Candace, that is it. Thank you so much for weighing in on that question. We have just at least given our thoughts, hopefully prayerfully considered that and helped this girl out with moving along. It's tough.
It is, but this is such an important thing for Christian women these days to say it's worth it to meet and marry a godly man.
It is, yeah. Okay. Well, thanks, Candace. That is it for this week's show, our special Valentine's Day edition, everyone. I hope that this year, 2010, for you, on all fronts of love, and there are many different kinds of love, we hope that it is a great one for you. As always, we want to stand here with you at the Boundless Show and live our lives alongside you. We want to do that intentionally, and we want to do that well, and we want to do that in a way that is glorifying to the Lord. So that is it for this week's show. Write to us, editor@boundless.org, with your feedback. Find us on the blog. Find us at boundless.org as well. And until next time, until we can celebrate another holiday with you. What's our next one coming up? I don't know. We'll do whatever.
St. Patrick's Day.
Our St. Patrick's Day show. Woohoo. We'll go ahead and do that. So that is it. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, for The Boundless Show.
The Boundless Show is a production of boundless.org. Focus on the family.